the beginning of the parsha, Rashi explains to us that the Lashon, the expression Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov dwelled, he tells us that this is coming to describe the process. Actually, it's primarily the next pasuk. Eila told us Yaakov. These are the, usually told us means progeny. But Rashi says that over here what it means is, at least on the most simple understanding, these are the causes, the occurrences that brought about the whole process of how Yaakov and his family, which eventually evolved into the Jewish people as a whole, how did they wind up becoming settled in their land, in their country, as their nationality, which just got finished describing in the at the end of the previous parsha, the settlement of Edom through Esav, etc. And then starts the whole long story. How for we got down to Mitzrayim, and then when we were in Mitzrayim, the slavery, and how we got out. So this parsha, this pasuk, is telling you, I'm now describing to you, the Torah is now describing to us how it all came about. And what was the beginning point of how it all came about? The machlokes, the fight between Yosef and his brothers. Of course, we all know Yosef was the favored son, and he was kind of like the quote-unquote goody-goody who would bring all the bad news about his brothers to his dad so that he could rebuke them and set them straight, etc. It's important to recognize that what we're being told over here is that the friction, the tension, the contention between Yosef and his brothers was not simply an isolated local event, if you will. This is the story of Jewish history. And not just because that happens to be how we got to Mitzrayim. And then, of course, once we were in Mitzrayim, so we were enslaved, and we became a multitude of people there, etc., etc. You know, Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel. And by rights, you know, we could look at what happened and think to ourselves, you know, Hashem, what's going on over here? Yaakov is a tzaddik. He only wants to do the right thing. How could you let Lavan get away with this? How could you let Lavan pull the switcheroo on him? And now look what happened as a result of that. Leah and Rachel had the tension the whole time. Who's going to be considered the primary wife? The whole time Leah felt like she was belittled and that she wasn't loved properly. She felt that she was hated. And Rachel really was the Akeres HaBayis, but at the same time, Rachel herself went through Gehenim. She went through such suffering because she herself at first was barren. So there was a tremendous tension. There's almost built-in conflict. And you see that what happened was that between the groups of children that represent the progeny of Leah versus the progeny of Rachel, of course, Bilhah and Zilpah, who were the maidservants of Leah and Rachel, they're not considered imahos, they're not considered matriarchs of the nation. So of course, their progeny are subsumed under Leah and Rachel, even though Leah is not the mother of all the 12 tribes, and Rachel is not the mother of all the 12 tribes, but both of them are considered matriarchs no less than Rivka and Sarah. It's because of the spiritual DNA that they created for the Jewish people. But in any event, what you see is that the friction that existed between Leah and Rachel, it carried on. And not only did it carry on, fast forward to the prophets, to the Nevi'im. What eventually winds up happening after we have a king? This friction remains. The 10 tribes break away from the tribe of Yehuda, and Binyamin as well, and Levi, and it becomes two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the 10 tribes, which were primarily led by the tribe of Ephraim, which is of course from Yosef, and then you have the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda, of course, represents the kingship that comes from the progeny of Leah. So we have to understand that this friction between brothers, this contention, this infighting, it's the story of Jewish history. And I think it's inevitably inescapable to understand that, yeah, it's not that Hashem just let Lavan get away with a switcheroo. Obviously, it was orchestrated from above. Obviously. Hashem intended it to be like this. Because this is what we have to work on. We know very well, the Chafetz Chaim was probably the one who made it the most well known, more than anybody else, that we're not getting redeemed until we fix this problem. This problem of slander, Lashon Hara, Rechilus, all of the infighting, all of the tension, all of the conflict that we have between brothers, between different groups within the Jewish people. This is the story of what brought us to Galus. This is how we got down to Mitzrayim to begin with, because of this whole fight between Yosef and his brothers. And this, of course, was what had to be resolved. When the brothers went down, they had to prove that they felt bad about what they did, that they repented what they did. According to some commentators, they didn't fully get there. Yosef divulged his identity too early. But we don't even get into the details. The main point to understand is that this is the story of Jewish history. We have to realize that ultimately, our state of exile, which continues, and the ultimate redemption, the geula that we're constantly longing and yearning for, it's up to this. And I think a critical point to recognize in this whole context is it says, Yosef would bring dibasam ro'el avim. Anything bad that he saw about his brothers, he would immediately go tell his father. And for their part, they saw that he was the most beloved child, which, by the way, the Gemara takes Yaakov Avinu to task on that. That you're not allowed, even if you happen to feel certain feelings of endearment, perhaps, towards one of your children over the others, you're not allowed to let that show. Because you can cause serious problems, as we see from our parsha. But coming back, for their part, it says, Vayisnu also, they hated him, but lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. So Ibn Ezra explains, what does it mean, lo yachlu dabro l'shalom? They couldn't even bring themselves to say shalom. At least that's what I think he means. They couldn't even bring themselves to say hello. It was just total cut off. And then it goes further. Yosef tried to tell them his dreams. Hey guys, I had this dream. And the dreams are clearly indicating that Yosef is destined for a position of leadership. And then again, that's just intensifying the whole tension. Is the leadership going to come from Yosef, who's the son of Rachel? Or is the leadership going to come from Yehuda? So, in a nutshell, what we see playing a major, major role in this whole context is serious problems in communication. The commentators explain that Yosef thought that his brothers were violating serious sins, and really he was mistaken. He made a mistake. He misjudged the situation. He jumped to conclusions that he should not have jumped to. And his brothers, instead of taking him to task and saying, you know, it's out of line, or going to their father and saying, you know, this makes us feel bad. Nope. Layachlu dabru l'shalom. Of course, Chazal tell us that there was a point of praise in this, that they didn't speak to him in a duplicitous manner and make it seem as if they liked him. They were honest. But at the same time, it's obvious the fact that their hatred was so strong that they wouldn't even talk to him. And then Yosef is trying to convince them, come on guys, look, listen to my dreams. I mean, you can't help but read those psukim and kind of like scratch your head and wonder to yourself, what is Yosef thinking? And not only that, when he says it over in front of his father as well, his father yells at him and says, what are you talking about? And he tries to make light of the dream in front of the other brothers because he realized this is just going to make them more upset. So we have to understand that our destiny as a Jewish people completely revolves around how we get along with each other or not. And we need to understand Hashem set it up like this on purpose. This is our challenge. This is what we are meant to work through, persevere with, and hopefully, sooner than later, manage to actually succeed in this challenge. We have to understand that feelings of animosity, feelings of friction, and sometimes even real hatred between brothers, between different groups within the Jewish people, it's not just happenstance. It's not a coincidence. This is our destiny around which everything revolves. How we get along or don't. And we've got to wake up and realize, hello, this is what we're meant to be doing. So let's take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and start working on it. And I think it's inevitably inescapable that the Aleph Beis, the starting point to working on it, is learning how to employ proper communication. Yes, even when you're angry, even when you're upset, even when you might even feel tremendous hatred, to learn how to communicate. If you don't like it that someone's getting favorite treatment, okay, don't just brood about it. Don't just stew in your juices of anger and resentment. Whoever you feel is the responsible party, go over to them in a controlled manner, in a respectful manner, and say, you know, I feel like I'm getting cheated. I feel like this is not fair. Discuss it. Be prepared that you might not get what you want, but discuss it. Keep the lines of communication open. Don't jump to conclusions. You saw something, you think something terrible was done, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. You know, maybe you should think about it a little bit more. Maybe discuss it with someone before you go and, you know, lay that libelous claim. And if you're so angry, don't clam up. Because what that does is that you're just waiting for a volcano to explode, which is effectively what happened. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. They were almost going to kill him. It was a volcano explosion. Don't clam up. Keep the lines of communication open. Of course, don't be duplicitous. Don't pretend that you're friendly when you're really seething inside. But be open, be honest. Which is in fact a mitzvah in the Torah. It says, "Ocheach tocheach es amisecho," and that's how the Rambam explains it. If someone does something to you and you're upset, you're angry, you've got to approach him. You've got to confront him. Of course, in a controlled, respectful way. I think if we start to do this, if we start to learn and incorporate positive, respectful communication skills into our interpersonal relationships, not only the ones where we feel kindly and goodly towards people, but also where we're really angry, where there's animosity, where there's just ill will. This is our destiny. This is what we've got to work on in order to bring the Geula about. Hashem should help us that we should manage to do it sooner than later. Have a good Shabbos.